Do you think there's some way that the forest and the mountain landscape could be used to integrate the urban development on the top and with the urban bottom of the mountain? How do we have to look at that forest, that urban forest differently?
Do you mean in terms of complementary recreational activities, that sort of thing?
Well, we know that one of the ways that the people of Burnaby value Burnaby Mountain is this traditional landmark character of the mountain. So they want to keep the viewscape, the trees and whatnot. But I'm wondering if that's going to be a very robust vision into the future, if in fact it is a roadblock to using the urban forest in a more creative way, and one of them to try to integrate the urban landscape with the forested.
Yes. Well, I mean, Burnaby is blessed by walking trails and parks.
It's well supplied.
It's very well supplied, and people can recreate in their own neighborhoods virtually anywhere you live in Burnaby.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is,
I would like more university students taking on hikes and stuff like that, some kind of soft credit for that kind of activity.
Does the student council do anything like that? There's another point of people who are aware of what's going on, the student council offices.
Yeah.
Do they sponsor any of that sort of thing?
I honestly don't know.
No.
So,
but that's something that could be done.
And they have a radio station, which has a very circumscribed broadcasting radius. So you could take that radius as a marker of the human existence on the mountain.
Yeah. You should talk to some of the people from the radio station.
Because
they've always been stuck in this dungeon-like place.
Well, they're above ground.
even though it's above ground.
Gray, one of the differences, which I think will be a problem in terms of what you're asking into the future, the foreseeable future, is that the surrounds of the residential surrounds of the mountain have been single-family housing, except a few places. Montecito is one, but on top of the mountain, everything is high-density, 6-7-story condo buildings. It's a different world, recreationally speaking and residentially speaking, going from one kind of environment to another kind of environment. And I don't know that they're all the same kind of people who would interact much. I mean, I don't know. I'm just speculating and wondering in reaction to your question.
So is it better to look at this urban forest as a buffer to keep
the two communities
separate?
Well, I think people like the
separate
idea of having a green space which is not used. They may not use it directly, but the use is a mental use and a spiritual use. It's there. I can look at it.
Yes.
And not necessarily a use of activity or exploitation in some way. If you go to an American national or state park, very often, I did some work in the Deep South years ago as a graduate student, and we went up into the Appalachian Mountains, and there were people living in the little hillbilly cabins and that sort of thing. Well, that was then, and this is now. About 4 or 5 years ago, we were down there again to visit some friends, and we went for a day trip up into the Blue Ridge Mountains, and there's a particular point called Lookout Mountain where you could stand at a lookout and look out over the descending plains over the Georgia Piedmont and down towards the southeast coastline. In 1961, you could do that and you could see forever. And a lot of it was forested and there's some farmlands and so on. The year 2002, I think it was, when we were last there, we went to the same place and we looked out. You couldn't see a thing for smog. And what you could see was simply all forested because all the farmlands and everything have all been abandoned. And then on the roads going up there, you could see that they were no longer dirt roads or trails for walking. They were now all paved. and the tourists from Knoxville were up there pushing their prams and walkers and all that sort of thing. And these were urban people taking part in the wilderness on urban terms. It had to be paved, it had to have facilities along the way, and all these things have been put in place now. And so the apparent wilderness, which was not really wilderness before, but it was marginal living, the apparent wilderness is now simply a recreation spot. It's a backyard park for the cities which surround it. And they've polluted the atmosphere as a result. So what's the potential, what's the story for Burnaby Mountain? I don't know.
The most popular place on Burnaby Mountain is the drive to look out at Horizons Restaurant.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. In fact, I was going to ask you about where Horizons Restaurant fitted in with that early zoning you talked about when you mentioned Barry Jones's ideas. Because that park was established before that, wasn't it?
It was established around the same time as
SFU. And it was
It was dedicated in 1967.
Okay. Yeah.
And people like Russ Hicks that I mentioned, who knew Burnaby Mountain as a youngster, he was involved in city politics. And
that building was built and run by the city at the time, by the Parks Board.
Yes.
Are we talking Horizons?
Horizons.
Yeah.
Well,
so
actually,
Russ's perspective, getting that park dedicated was the first step in the road of having down the road of having a proper plan.
I see.
For managed growth on Burnaby Mountain.
So what have you found out about it?
Well, I was going to ask you, that was in 1967 when that was dedicated. Because the Burnaby Mountain Park, the Centennial area, the Pavilion area, was created in 1958. There's been dedications and rededications and rededications, and it's actually really hard to follow them. And it may be that the 67 dedication involved legal considerations that they needed to pull it all together again after taking the pieces out that were going to be SFU land. So, but that I have asked about that, how that pavilion area with all the urban structures really have been grandfathered into the conservation area, and the parks doesn't seem to consider that a problem, that the balance is there, and it certainly is something that's well used by people. So.
Yes. There's a lot more of struggle and strife in the North Shore mountain trails than there is here in Burnaby.
Oh, you mean with the kind of use? Like with mountain bikers?
There's heavy duty fighting on the North Shore.
Oh, between bikers and hikers?
Yeah.
Apparently,
there are mountain bikers around Burnaby Mountain.
But you don't see it as a problem with conflicting uses?
I think the trail usage here is comparatively slight.
I've also been told that the trails are designed to actually slow mountain bikers down, and that the trails are more designed for moderate use, moderate skills.
Yes.
And it's you go to the North Shore to really do the
test yourself.
Yes. so maybe that's where those conflicts.
So
are
coming. We should be wrapping up. But it's been
wonderful
to talk to you.
Yes, is there anything you'd like to add to the interview?
Well, this has actually prompted more discussion. I'm glad that we were able to come together because I wouldn't have thought of various things. And I was very well informed about these things. So, the other name I was going to mention to you was Dave Huntley. He was a physics professor, and he would have, I think he would wanted to mention Barry Jones to you as well. So that completes a connection. But he's been much interested in the mountain, and I can send you his email if you want.
It's
probably just Huntley at SFU, but I'll double check that.
Okay. Well, thank you both.
I know you said your list is full, but even so.
No, it'd be good to have these people listed. Yep. So thank you very much, and I'll just stop the interview.